Our reading comes from Genesis this morning, and it's the bit when God talks to Abram, whose name would later be Abraham. So the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him too. Okay. If you'd like to just cast your eye to the wall. Now we are going to be starting a series on the prophets, but because the prophets, messengers from God, speak into particular situations, we thought it would make much more sense to remind ourselves of the situations first. So I'm today going to go from Adam to Joseph. Don't worry, we won't be here all day. I'm missing out some people on the way. Next week, John's going to do Moses, which is not fair, really, because as you can see, that's one card. And then the week after, Danny is going to take us through quite a chunk of the rest. And the hope is, when we then look at Isaiah and whoever, that you will then go, oh, well, this is where it fits. This is what they're talking about, okay? But while I get sorted, could you just turn to your partner and go, could you just tell me three things about anyone on the line you'd like? My aim is, it's a bit of a high aim, my aim is that by the end of this, all of us will be able to go, oh, I'm going to tell you the story from Adam to Joseph and pick out some people on the way, okay? And in order to help us with this, I've got oodles of props with me this morning, which may help you. So particularly perhaps if you're a young person or a child, you might want to use this to help you as we go through. I will pick them up depending on which part of the story we're on. And the hope is at the end, I will say, could you tell your neighbour a bit of the story? Or perhaps between you, you could do it. And you'd be able to get yourself all the way from Adam to Joseph. Sound doable? No. I'm glad that we feel that way. Brilliant. So I'm going to kick off right at the beginning. On a very, very blank slate. Okay. So this story of creation starts with the world being empty. You don't need to squint at it. There's no picture there, I promise you. And so it starts with a very, very, very blank slate. And God creates out of nothing. He speaks. And suddenly, the earth is there, which is amazing, really. And we'll come back to that in a bit. But that's our God. He starts in the beginning making something amazing, making something out of nothing that no one's really ever been able to do since. But in the garden, he put some wonderful people who are made in his image or in his likeness, okay? Now, for all of us, we know we mess up a lot. I do, certainly. And so I am made in the image of God, but I need to grow into the likeness of God. It's a bit like if you lined up all of my family, like my relatives who aren't here, we all have the same noses. So you could tell we all came from roughly the same kind of genetics. But that's the end of it, really. We're not like each other in other ways. But Adam and Eve, they were born in the image and the likeness. So they were born not just similar to God, but really similar because sin hadn't messed it up yet. So this is your mirror to help you to remember, made in the image of God. But in the garden, he puts a tree, not an apple tree. And we don't really know what tree it was, by the way. I think apples get a bad name. But anyway, Adam and Eve, and they eat the apple, or they eat whatever it was, and God chucks them out. And it's really sad, because God's intention had always, always been to bless and to encourage. And yet he threw them out, because they were unholy. They had gone against him and disobeyed him, so he had to send them out. But if you look at the rest of this whole story, nearly everybody God talks to. So him getting them to leave the garden wasn't the end of people knowing God. He continued to know them all the way through. But they had two sons, and it starts to go a bit wrong. Cain and Abel. And so they both offer sacrifices to God. Cain and Abel both do that. They both know God. And God accepts Abel's sacrifice of a lamb, but rejects the gift that Cain had brought of vegetables. And what's really interesting is that God doesn't, at that point, say, Cain, I don't like you. In fact, the very next verse he says, if only you basically overcome the wrong in your life and I'll help you to do that, of course I will accept what you've brought me. Of course I will accept your gifts. But Cain says no, and he goes away and he kills Abel. But again, God doesn't reject him. God then goes with him and blesses him and looks after him. And we're going to continue. After Cain and Abel, we're going to have a bit of a jump and we're going to get onto Noah, which is why I've got a boat. This was a boat I went on. And it's one of the saddest bits in the Bible because Genesis chapter 6, God says, basically, I've had enough. I wish I hadn't made you. And Noah has this amazing conversation with God where we only hear a little bit of it, where basically Noah's saying, look, there's some of us who know you, there's some of us who love you, please let this not be the end. And God says, okay. And I find that incredible that the whole of the rest of the world goes wrong, but God still wants to partner with the people who love him. God still wants to talk to the people who love him. And so Noah, as we know, he takes on board, thank you, George, lots of different animals, hence why I have got my little elephant. Are you doing well so far, by the way? We think we've got it sorted, okay? So he takes on lots of things, and eventually the flood goes down, and God puts his promise in the sky of a rainbow, which is promise that he's never going to flood the earth again. And then we have a little bit of a jump. We are now onto Abraham, but just so that you're aware, the world has gone very, very bad. There's lots of evil in the world. But I just remind you of that. So Abraham is born, well, Abraham's there, and he has a wife called Sarah. And you might know the story that they're getting very old and they haven't got any children. But God says five times in Abraham or Abraham's life, I'm going to make you into a great nation. You're going to have loads of offspring, loads of people, and I'm going to use you to bless the whole of the rest of the world. And yet Abraham keeps not getting it right. So here's two examples. Twice in the Bible, he goes into an area and he thinks, my wife is too gorgeous. I bet a lot of you think that about your wives this morning. They're just too gorgeous. And in the case of Abraham, he thought, do you know what? I might get me and her killed because someone might kill me in particular to get my wife from me. They might think she's too gorgeous for you. I'll bump you off and nick your wife. And so twice he lies and says it's his sister. And each time, the person who's taken his wife, bad things happen to them and they go, oh yeah, maybe it was actually his wife and this was all a lie. And so it continues on throughout his life. And Abraham is heading for this country, heading for the land God's promised him, heading for this nation. But eventually, they kind of get to the stage of, well, are we ever going to have any children? And so we come back to the knife again because Abraham is told to take his son Isaac and kill him, even though they'd waited. And they've waited ages for this son, but God says, kill him anyway. And we know from verse 1 that it's a test. He's not going to have to do it. So they go up the mountain, and God at the last minute stops him. And it's one of those amazing moments when then God's able to say, let me now add to the blessings that I was going to give you anyway, because you've really shown yourself faithful. And God supplies a ram that's in the thicket for him to sacrifice instead. So Isaac grows up and Abraham, his wife, finds a wife for him and they continued on their journey. What's interesting actually is that Isaac does the same things as Jacob. He arrives in another country and again says, oh, it's not really my wife, this time with his wife, and someone else takes her and gets in trouble. But eventually, anyway, Isaac has sons as well. And he has Jacob and Esau. This is one of our favorite stories in the Bible, in our house, because it's about sibling rivalry, I think. And so Jacob cheats Esau. He wears this hairy skin on his arm and he manages to take the birthright off his older son. And he goes away and he's afraid, but that ladder appears. Do you remember Jacob's ladder? So he's in the wilderness and he's praying and he gets this kind of dream of the angels going up and down a ladder bigger than this. This is rubbish, but a massive ladder, and there's angels coming down and going up. And so he realizes and he says to himself that actually I'm going to commit myself to God, even though I've cheated my brother, even though I'm running for my life, clearly God must be with me. I'll commit myself to him. And he goes away and he gets married and he comes back. And on the way back, he wrestles with God. And Jacob becomes called Israel. That's why I've got the brackets with the name. Jacob, we know, means the one who supplants, because he comes out grabbing his older brother's heel out of the womb. And so he was kind of trying to take his birthright, even from there, steal the place of the older sibling. But he becomes called Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. And we wrestle with God too, don't we? Even this week, I've had some bad things happen. And I think, oh God, why has that happened? And I'm kind of in that wrestle of, I see your blessing, and I kind of see the stuff I don't get as well. And that's what this is all about, really. So moving on a little bit, we've had Jacob, and Jacob then goes on and has 12 sons. And one of the sons is called Joseph. And again, we've got this issue of favoritism. And Joseph is the one, really, that is loved, the one that Jacob loves more than all the others. And that just seems massively unfair to the rest of them, so they sell him into slavery. But eventually God shows that he is still with him and proves that by giving him dreams and visions that help him to minister to the people of that land of Egypt. So we're going to take five there. We're still not in the promised land. It was promised to Abraham. They've kind of been trying to get there, but famines and stuff get in the way, so they find themselves hiding in other people's countries. And with Joseph, they're still not in that land. So could you take just a couple of minutes, talk to the person next to you. How much of this story can you retell using my props? I'll give you a few minutes, see how you get on. I hope you've got kind of the hang of it. I'm now going to show you just a few things that I think we can kind of pull out of the story, because that's the whole big thing. But now we're going to see what we can pull out. So here's a few. So here we go. So made mistakes. All of them made enormous mistakes. I think that's one of the things we can take from the Bible. There's no perfect people in the Bible. They all got it wrong. Miracle births, three in a row. So Abraham and Sarah, she was really old. They couldn't have children. Isaac and Rebekah, again, she couldn't have children. Jacob and Rachel, again, she couldn't have children. And each time, God does an amazing thing, and they are able to have children. This is the story of our God, the God of miracles. God speaks to all of them, actually. And if you read it through, you'll find that they have pictures. They have God appearing to them physically. They have amazing times where they experience God for themselves. And I think that's fascinating, because they all make mistakes, but they can also hear from and experience God. God blesses and covenants. Covenants means an agreement. So God chooses to bless each of them and make a covenant with them. And just by the way, here are a little thing of what the covenants were about. Most of them, so if you look from left to the right, the left is the chapter of Genesis, you'll find it, the story in. The next one is the person that they're given to. And then what are they blessed with? So most of them are blessed with, you're going to be fruitful and multiply. A lot of them are told you're going to get a land and you're going to be a great nation and God's going to bless you and you're going to bless other people. And just notice, Abraham's got five in there. There's this repeated, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you. You're going to be a blessing to other people. And of course, even us this morning are proof of that, because you're bound to be a blessing to people in your week, aren't you? You've done nice things to people this week. So what do we learn? What do we get from the whole of this first bit of the story? And here are a few. I think the first is that God wants to bless. Over and above mistakes, over and above everything else, God wants good things for your life. God wants to work with us. We're not just looked on in the Bible as these kind of passive robots, but actually God wants to work with us. He is holy, and so that's why there's justice when it goes wrong. And they always get it wrong, but actually God uses all sorts of things for good. Even Joseph's slavery is used for good at the end. So let me just pray for us before we move on with our service a little bit. I hope that's been helpful. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful and loving God. We thank you that you care for each one of us. We thank you that although we'll mess up time and time and time again, that you will always want to talk to us, that you're always, always going to be faithful to us. Father, thank you for who you are. in Jesus' name. Amen.